Bibles with me, turn to Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. We'll read a couple verses together and get right in it this morning. I don't know about you, but I love hearing preaching of God's word. I can sit and listen to it for hours. And I thought I saw a bat just fly over there. Something just came down. I'll never forget Pastor Wilkerson. I was in Bible college years ago, in the auditorium that we had, it was an old drama theater, and it was those bucket seats that came down, you know, and they had the big curtain on the front. And literally our music teacher, he was singing a solo. His name was Daryl Bevis. He kind of sounded like Jerome Hines. Do you remember Jerome Hines from years ago? He sounded like he had peanut butter in his mouth. He's like, "Come make my vow to the Lord." And while he was singing, Brother Wilkes, a bat started flying around the auditorium. The girls were screaming, holding their hair. And he had always taught us in choir and everything else that no matter what went on, you just sang on. And he made it all the way through that song. While he was singing it, the athletic director came out with a tennis racket and killed that bat. Never forget that. And Daryl Bevis never missed a note on that entire song. We gave him a standing ovation when he got done. That was something else. Proverbs chapter 5, look with me at verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 12. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Father, bless our time together, I pray. Use me, Father, in some way to speak to even one heart is my prayer. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Use it in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Wilkerson for letting me preach at the church last night and then being able to preach here today to you young people. I thank the Lord so much for him and his dear wife and their family, the incredible testimony they have been to me and my wife and our family. And, Brother Wilkerson, your son was playing ball with my son. They played against each other, and on the court they were kind of rough on each other, but off the court they were starting to become good friends. And I thank the Wilkersons for just, you know, they showed us all, you stay faithful to the Lord no matter what, and God gives strength, and he not only gives strength to you, he gives strength to everybody around you. And I'm so thankful for the Wilkersons. Their testimony has been a great strength to my wife and I. You saw my wife a minute ago. Tiffany Hemphill stood with her. She is my niece, and my wife and I, my wife's sister is her mother. And so Tiffany is a blessing. And you're a sophomore now, Tiffany? You're a junior? I am getting old. My goodness, wow. Can't believe you are a junior already. And where are the Stallnecker girls? You hear someplace? You guys are out. There they are. Oh, they're sitting right in front of you. Okay, there you are. I thought maybe you guys skipped or something. I got you in trouble. I wanted to thank you for watching over our CD table last night. And your father is a real blessing to me. Him and I, we were young preachers out in California. Something happened between now and then, but him and I were young preachers in California many years ago. And he was a blessing to me. And the older I get, the more I appreciate the faithful men of God. And your dad's one of those. Appreciate him so much. Well, I wanted to tell you before I start preaching today how thankful I am for my dear wife, and I mean that with all of my heart. And I have tried my whole marriage to her to remember things. And guys, you know, it's almost a losing endeavor to try to remember all of her favorite things and all of the things, you know, for your anniversaries and your birthdays. And but I think I was better at it than this fella that I'm going to tell you about here in a second. I heard about this fella. He went to the sheriff's department to report that his wife was missing. He said, "My wife is missing. She went shopping yesterday and has not come home." The sergeant said, "What is her height?" Her husband said, "I'm not sure. A little over 5 feet tall." The sergeant said, "Her weight?" The fella said, I don't know. Not slim, not really fat, though. The sergeant said, "The color of her eyes, sort of brown, I think. I don't know, never really noticed. The color of her hair, oh, come on, man, she changes it 3 times a year. I don't remember what it is now. I think it might be brown. I can't remember. What was she wearing? This is a Baptist joke. So she was wearing a dress, a skirt maybe, blue or red. I don't know. What kind of car did she go in? Well, she went in my truck. What kind of truck was it? A 2015 Ford F-150 King Ranch 4x4 with EcoBoost, 5.0 liter V8 engine, special ordered manual transmission, climate controlled air conditioning, custom matching white cover for the bed, has a matching aftermarket bed liner, custom leather six-way seats and Bubba floor mats, trailer package with gold hitch and special wiring hookups, DVD with full GPS navigation, satellite radio receiver, 23 channel CB radio, 6 cup holders, a USB port, 4 power outlets, and I added special alloy wheels and off-road Michelins, and it has custom running boards and indirect wheel well lighting. At this point, the husband began to choke up. The sergeant said, "Don't worry, buddy, we'll find your truck." That's terrible. We really shouldn't laugh at that. You know, if you were to ask me what I felt was the greatest danger facing your generation, I would say that it is that part in the scripture that it says there will come a falling away first. I believe we're living in a time where we're seeing a lot of falling away from old-time religion. And I believe your generation is going to face that in a perhaps a greater way than ever. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 5, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Leviticus said that we are to put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. 2 Peter 2, verse 19 says, "There are those that promise them liberty." We're facing a lot of that in our time. I grew up like I suppose a lot of you did here today. I had it all. I grew up in a really good Christian home. My father was an extremely godly man, perhaps one of the most consistent Christians I've ever met in my life. My dad, I just remember seeing him every morning out there reading his Bible and spending time in prayer. And just when he disciplined me, he always disciplined me consistently. I remember my father, he's big 6'4", 250-pound football player. He played for the South Dakota State University Jackrabbits. I've my whole life given my father a hard time about playing for the Jackrabbits. Who in the world names their football team the Jackrabbits? Should be something like the Broncos, right? Or wait, Bears. I forgot what state I was in. Man, I was driving down a road here somewhere not too far from here, and on the light over the road, it said, beat the Packers. That's all it said. I'm a Denver Bronco fan, grew up in Wyoming. And when I grew up, I had 2 favorite football teams, the Broncos and whoever was playing the Oakland Raiders. Those were my favorite teams, you know. But I grew up in a really great home. My father would sit me down, and when I did something wrong and discipline me properly, he'd open the Bible and read the scripture to me, and I had it all made. A wonderful mother. I was saved when I was 5 years old on August 15, 1969. 18 years later, on August 15, 1987, I married my wife on the same day that I was saved on. We just celebrated 32 years of marriage, and I celebrated 50 years of my salvation. God's been so good to me. When I was 13 years old, I got a job. Sounds so innocent, sounds so simple. But I got a job working as a dishwasher in a restaurant. And it didn't seem like that bad of a deal, but unfortunately there I met a whole bunch of very ungodly young people. I was introduced to very wild and ungodly music. Wasn't long, you know, Pastor Wilkerson, I remember many times hearing Dr. Howes say, alcohol has never touched these lips, and tobacco has never touched these lips. And every time I heard Brother Howes say those words, it was like a dart hit my heart, and I felt so bad. I don't have that testimony. Those young people, as I began to work in that place, I worked there for about 5 or 6 years, They introduced me to alcohol. They introduced me to tobacco. I grew up with cowboys in Cody, Wyoming, in the northwestern part of Wyoming, up by Yellowstone, in the rodeo capital of the world. And I grew up in the rough and tumble of the West, hunting and fishing and just, you know, being with rough and tumble guys. And I got far away from the Lord. And it seemed like as each year of my teenage life went by, I got further and further from the Lord. In that verse that I just read, those verses that I just read to you a minute ago, the Bible says I was in almost all evil in the midst of the congregation. I had the ability to sit just like you. I had the ability to sit there and listen to the preaching and be a long ways away. I had the ability to sit there like you and have things in my life that did not belong in a Christian's life. I had the ability to sit there and be on a Bible quiz team and answer the questions, and people thought he must really know his Bible. I had all that stuff because I was raised in the Christian life, and I knew all the right answers to all the questions. But I was far from God. When I graduated from high school, there was a band in our town that was very well known in Wyoming and Montana and South Dakota, North Dakota, Utah, Idaho, Colorado. They had a signed contract in Nashville, and something happened to their lead singer. Because of the crowd that I was hanging around and the life that I had involved myself in, they came to me and wanted to use me as their lead singer. Boy, I thought this was a dream come true. My heart was so far from God, I couldn't wait to get out of my house and get away and go the trail of life that I wanted to go down. One night, my father said that I was supposed to be home at 10 o'clock. I rolled in that night at 2 o'clock in the morning. You see, my parents, my mother in particular, was extremely worried about me because just a few weeks before that, the young man whose father was the assembly God pastor in my town, and I grew up in a town of about 3,500 to 4,000 people back in those days, and the young man whose father was the pastor of the Assembly of God church, he was older than me. He was about 19 years old. And a young man named Jimmy Smith was one of my close buddies, and he was living on this side, he was going to ride in a truck on this side of me. The son of the preacher was to drive the vehicle, and I was to sit in the middle. And we were headed to Yellowstone, and we had a kegger in the back. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. But it had a hose coming up into the front, and we planned on going away from the weekend and just having a great time. And I was about 15 minutes away from that drive with those guys. We were camp up in Yellowstone, and my sister came, and she said, "Dad's not happy with you. I'd forgotten to do something." And she made me get out of that truck and go back with her, and I didn't get to go with them. Took my stuff out of the back of the truck, and another young man got in. And so Jimmy slid over into the middle, and the young man sat here by the door, and off they took to go up to Yellowstone and mess around. And at 90 miles an hour, they slammed into a cliff wall, Brother Wilkerson. Jimmy was thrown right straight through the windshield and was killed instantly. Tim Woods was sitting in the driver's seat, and the impact of the accident drove him upward, and the visor cut the top of his head right off. They flew him to Salt Lake City, and he was permanently, the rest of his life, mentally retarded. All that he knew was his name, and he could sing a few songs like "Jesus Loves Me" and a few things like that. The young man that was sitting over here lost his arm and lost his leg and a few other things, scarred his face up real bad. But Jimmy Smith was killed instantly, and I never witnessed to him. Did I say Jimmy Smith? That's not his name. What was his name like? Jimmy. That happens now and then to me. Don't worry about it. I know where I'm at. I'm in Hammond, Indiana. Amen. Jimmy, wait, I'm not in Hammond, Indiana. That was church last night. I'm in Crown Point. There we go. I do know where I'm at. Jimmy Cook was his name. There we go. It came back. Anyways, Jimmy was killed instantly, and I never witnessed to him. I never gave him the gospel. He died and went to hell. That night as I came home, my father met me at the door, and he was quite revved up. My mother was extremely worried. They called the search and rescue. And they were very worried that I was out beside a road someplace, either hurt or dead. My father met me at the door, and that night he lost his temper, and he began to punch me and hit me and very upset. And my mother got in between us, and she screamed and said, "Chuck," and she pushed him upstairs, and she pushed me downstairs. And I began to grab all my things, and I began to throw them in a suitcase, and I was just going to leave. I was going to leave that night. I was going to go over with those men And I was going to be gone and forget this life. And I was going to go down my own way through life. And my mother, she began to take the things out of the suitcase and throw them back in the drawer. And she locked her arms around me. She began to cry. And she said, son, when you were born, she said, before you were born, when I found out I was expecting you, I gave you to God. And every day of your life, I gave you to God. And she cried and she wept. And she made me promise that I would not go until the next morning. I remember finally I said, okay, whatever, and I got in bed. And I laid down in that bed, and I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and my mother was laying at the foot of my bed. And my mama was praying for me. And she was saying, oh, God, break my son. Oh, God, use my son any way you choose. And over, I was so far from God. I put a pillow over my head, and I laid back down. And I went to sleep. I woke up at 4 o'clock and my sweet mother was still laying there praying for me over and over. Oh, God, break my son. Use my son any way you choose. And I woke up in the morning at 6 o'clock when my alarm went off and I got out of that bed and I began to pack things and begin to go again. And once again, my mother, she locked her arms around me and she would not let me go. She held on to me for the longest time. I told her, I said, Mom, and she never knew exactly what I was going to do. And I finally told her, I said, Mom, I'm leaving. I'm going to go into music of my own, and I'm never coming back. I don't like the way you live, and I don't. That old man upstairs, he don't love me. And my mother said, oh, he loves you. And I said, well, he has a funny way of showing it. But she locked her arms around me, and she wouldn't let go. And finally, she made me promise that I would go off to Bible college. Now, it's usually not the kind of student you want to come to Bible college. But I finally gave in to my mom, and in my heart, I said, all right, I'll go to one semester of Bible college. I remember calling those fellas up. Brother Wilkerson, do you remember when Judas felt bad and he took that money back and he threw it at their feet? Y'all remember what they said to him? They said, what is that to us? They didn't care about him at all. I called those guys up. I thought I was so important. I was the lead singer. I thought, well, without me, what have they got? You know what they had? They had everything but me. They didn't want me. They didn't care about me. They cussed and swore, called me every foul name you could think of. I got off that phone and I realized that it was just me. I had no Christian friends. I had no unsaved friends. I had nothing. I went off to Bible college. Came home and Christmas time, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I didn't know back then that you couldn't transfer your credits, over to a public university. I didn't know that. Nobody told me that. And I thought, well, I'll go the whole year and then I'll transfer to a junior college and I'll go on to do what I want. I came home that summer, the last week of school. They had a revival meeting, and in that revival meeting, they said, you know, if you're not careful, you're going to go home and you're going to go back to that old lifestyle. And man, I didn't know God. He had almost been like a character in a comic strip to me. I didn't know him at all in a personal way. I was saved when I was 5. He really does save kids. I just didn't know him. Well, I tell you what, I went down the aisle at that revival meeting, and I'm ashamed to tell you, I didn't tell my testimony for a long time because it's so sad to me. And I never want to encourage some young person to think, well, you know, thank God he's the God of the second chance. You remember when that fellow reached back to study the ark? God wasn't the God of the second chance on that day. Don't play games with God. Don't use me as your excuse. I didn't know. I didn't go about it as thinking I would get right or later. I never wanted to get right. But I remember going down the aisle and saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, when I go home this summer, I won't drink any beer. That was my big decision. But you know what? I did not know it at the time how that would change my life, because it kept me from a crowd that I didn't need to be around. And I don't have the time to tell you this morning, but there was a man in my life that just loved me. He stuck his arm around me, and he began to invest in my life, and he began to just love me. And it took some time, but by God's grace, it took clear into my junior year before I finally really began to know God and began to love his word and began to want to be used of him to serve the Lord. And so then I get right with the Lord, and God calls me into the ministry. I get married to my wife and we begin to serve the Lord. And I told you last night about how my life was altered by health. But you know what else happened to me, Brother Wilkerson? When I got right with the Lord, people that had been praying for me, they came to me and they told me, they said stuff like this. They said, hey, listen to this CD. Back then it was cassette tape. Now, kids, what a cassette tape is it's this little plastic thing. No. But they gave me this cassette tape, and they said, hey, listen to this. And I thought, you know what, that's garbage. That's from that sound, that music, that I left that. They said, oh, no, now you can just throw Jesus into it, and everything's good. I knew better because of where I come from. I don't want that in my life anymore. But you know, I'm watching this happen in your generation. Back when Pastor Wilkerson and I were your age, we were looking unto the great men who had known the way of the Lord. You know what your generation is doing? You're checking each other's Facebook pages out and your Twitter accounts and your young pastors. I find them all the time. I chastise them. They're not looking to the Word of God. So many of them are just looking at, oh, that's cool. Oh, hey, that's sweet. Hey, look at that. And I'm wondering, where's God? Where's His Word? If you're not careful, what will happen in your life is that you'll go to Bible college, you'll be fired up to serve the Lord, and then as soon as you go out there, there's a crowd that wants to pull you away from everything you learned. There's a newer and a better way. Don't listen to those old guys that taught you in college. They're so disconnected with reality, and you just needed to find this new way. And I'm just telling you, what has been done and shown the way here at First Baptist Church of Hammond and Howes Anderson College, hey, listen, it has been proven through decades that God's hand is on it. I challenge you, I pray for you, I plead God to help you understand how important it is. You may say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I just want to read you something, and then when I finish reading this, we'll have an invitation if God spoke to your heart. First of all, I'll just tell you the story. And then I'll read part of it. Several years ago, there was a coaches conference in Las Vegas. And an old coach was there to teach the coaches. And he stood up one night to give his speech. And he had home plate hung around his neck with a little string. And as he stood up, he said, you're probably all wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck. We all laughed. He said, I just want to talk to you a little bit about what I learned from home plate. He said, are there any Little League coaches here today? A few hands went up. He said, in Little League, how wide is the plate? Somebody finally offered in a questioning manner. They said, 17 inches. He said, that's right. He said, is there any Babe Ruth coaches here? A few hands went up. He said, how wide is that plate in Babe Ruth? Somebody said, a little bit more confident. They said, 17 inches. He said, all right, have we got any high school coaches here? Same question. How wide is home plate in high school baseball? They said, 17 inches. Then he asked for college coaches. Same answer, 17 inches. He said, all right, how about minor league baseball coaches? Hands went up. He said, how wide is that plate? 17 inches. He said, any pro ball coaches here today from Major League Baseball? Few hands went up. He said, how wide is that plate in Major League Baseball? They said, 17 inches. He said, well, what happens in Major League Baseball when we have a pitcher that cannot throw that pitch across 17 inches? Do we widen it to 18 to accommodate him? Do we widen it to 19 to accommodate him? He said, no, I'll tell you what we do. We send him to Pocatello, Idaho. We don't change the rules for anybody. He said, coaches, what do you do when one of your players won't keep his hair cut like the rules say? Or he stays out too late? What if he's your best player? Do you widen the plate? I'm just here to tell you, you're going to get into the ministry and you're going to be tempted to widen the plate. You're going to be tempted to justify things. You're going to be tempted to justify things in your own life. There's going to be things coming along, and you're going to get involved in things. And listen, man, you don't need to widen the plate. You need to get right with God. You need to fall on your face before the throne of heaven and say, oh, God, I know you're not going to widen the plate for me. So, God, I'm going to get on my knees right now. That music's out of my life. Those things that are in my life, they're out of my life. Don't widen the plate. You'll wake up 30 years from now and say, oh, I wish I would have listened. Oh, I wish I would have done right. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have widened the plate. We're justifying so many things these days. You know, 20 years from now, old-fashioned religion will still be God's way. It'll still be wrong for ladies to dress like men and men to dress like ladies. Got sent an article the other day and this from this lawyer, and he was asking for me to send him money because he was fighting this case to defend this funeral home that had a policy that their men were to wear suits and slacks and their women were to wear dresses. And a transgender fellow was suing the funeral home because he wanted to wear a dress. I wrote a letter to the fellow and I said, are you going to have the same vigor towards the women that are cross-dressing? You see, we widen the plate for everything, don't we? We widen it for music. We widen it for clothing standards. We widen it for everything. We widen, we widen, we widen, we widen. You know, God has not widened it. I promise you, you're going to get challenged as you go out there with all sorts of things. And I plead with you, I beg you, don't widen the plate. I started justifying things to myself when I was a young man. Oh, it's okay if I do this. Oh, it's just a little bit of this alcohol. Oh, it's just a little bit of that. And before I knew it, I was so far outside the plate, I couldn't be used for God. I couldn't throw a fastball across 17 inches. But I tell you, I got right with the Lord. And I've been sending that fastball at 98 miles an hour right down the center for 30-some years. And you know what? The devil's been swinging at it pretty hard, but you keep firing away and God will use you. Amen. Stand together, every head bowed, every eyes closed.